And Thomas preached for us, and Arthur that night happened to preach to our teens and the teen activity, and did a wonderful job sharing his testimony. And what a blessing it is to be around Arthur. He just graduated from Ambassador. He had plans to travel for the school this summer and be around the country preaching in churches, but due to the COVID-19, the churches canceled that and that tour. But God has opened up other doors for him, and this being one of them. And I tell you, church, I appreciate so much when God had called me to preach, and especially when I had graduated Bible college. I was so thankful when pastors opened up their pulpit for me to be able to preach and give God's word. And it was such an encouragement, and it helped me so much to just in my service to the Lord. And I want to do the same thing as men are called to preach, and the Lord is leading them and to give them opportunity to share God's word. Arthur's 22 years old, and he's praying about God's will for his life and just willing. His spirit is just willing to serve wherever. So I'm glad God sent him our way to preach. This morning, brother, you come and just share what God's put on your heart and preach, okay? Lord bless you, brother. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good morning. It's good to be with you all. Like Pastor said, I was with you guys a few months back, and it's good to see some familiar faces and just see what the Lord's doing here. You know, it's been an interesting time, right? I'll tell you, I remember when all this coronavirus stuff started and most churches were live streaming at home. Pastor, I saw a lot of videos and GIFs of people saying, my first Sunday back, and they're like posting videos of people running down the aisles and dancing, and I haven't seen any of that. Have you seen it yet? So, Brother Swofford, wherever you are, if you like to start. No, I'm just kidding. But it's good to be with y'all this morning, and it's good to be in the Lord's house. I tell you, it's good to be back in church, and I thank Pastor for having me here and for y'all being here this morning. And we're just going to open up the Word of God, see what the Lord has for us today. So if you take your Bible to the book of Nehemiah, it's after 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles, somewhere around there. And if you hit Job and Psalms, you've gone too far. But the book of Nehemiah, really what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning is to share with you my burden. A burden that the Lord has had on my heart for a long time and for years and years, and a burden that's been on my heart that has only grown these past few months as we've looked at the state of our country, at everything going on. You know, we shared that verse and just talked a little bit of emphasis this morning on the importance of standing on the solid rock, of having our mind stayed on the Lord and not worrying and not fretting. And that's the attitude that we should have. But another thing that should be combined with everything going on is a deep burden for our country. As we look at the mess and everything going around today, it's not hard to turn on the news and not hard to turn on Facebook and to look and to see everything that's going on and say, wow, our country needs revival. Our country needs Jesus Christ. Our country needs something to happen because of the mess that it's in. And I pray this morning that you would just get a little bit of a burden, a little bit of a broken heart for what's going on in our country, and that you in your heart would decide that you need to either pray for revival, you either need to be a part of revival by winning other people, or you just need to seek God more, that He would do something. So Nehemiah chapter number 1, if you'd stand with me out of respect for the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter number 1, read a few verses and then go to the Lord in prayer. The Word of God says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction, and reproach the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. In these verses, we see a man by the name of Nehemiah, and he gets report that his country is physically and literally broken down. And this morning, I pray that we would get a burden for our country that is spiritually, morally broken down. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we love You.
Yes.
And Lord, we need You this morning. Lord, we need to be stirred. We need our hearts worked on by Your Spirit. Lord, I need a fresh anointing, Lord. I need You to work through me, Lord. And I pray that You would work in our hearts. God, I pray that when we leave this morning, we would say that God met with us, that God did a work, that God spoke to us, Lord. So I pray that You would meet with us, that Your Holy Spirit would work, and that God, You would do something this morning in a special way, that we would give You honor, we'd give You glory, and that we'd give You all the praise that You deserve, Lord. We love You. Praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And I was saying, it's no secret with everything going on today that our country needs revival. All the rioting and all the violence and all the hatred that's going around, everything is pointing towards a people that do not know God. I'll read some statistics for you if you haven't been watching the news. And other than that, before then, in 2015, in what was considered a down year, there were over 600,000 abortions. Over 50 million babies aborted since Roe vs. Wade. In 2017, there were over 15,000 murders. The divorce rate has always been high. Normally it's right around 50,000. It's dropped a little bit because more people are just living together outside of wedlock. In the United States, as of 2017, there were over 60,000 bars and nightclubs. In our country, the past few years, we've seen homosexuality and transgenderism really to rise and to be culturally accepted and in some ways culturally pushed. Nearly half of the children born in the United States are born to an unmarried mother. 30% of all internet traffic goes to some adult site. America has the largest incarceration rate and prison population in the world. More than 60 million Americans abuse alcohol, and more than 20 million use illicit drugs. According to the FBI, nearly 1.5 million Americans are gang members. And in 2016, there were nearly 50,000 suicides here in the United States. If that won't break your heart for our country, I don't know what will. A lot is being said right now of how people are responding to racial injustice or to police brutality and all these things. They're saying, well, what do you think? And if you don't have the right response, then you're looked down upon. You're discriminated against for having a discriminatory remark. And all these things are going on. But really, it doesn't matter necessarily what we think. But what does God think about what's going on in our nation? And I believe that God is brokenhearted. I believe that God is burdened. And I believe that God weeps for the sin, for the heartache, and for the heartbreak of our people. Our nation is in need of revival. And let me tell you, it doesn't start in the White House by somebody getting elected. It doesn't start with police reform. It doesn't start with racial equality. No matter how you slice it, it doesn't start any of those ways where revival, where God coming to the lost people, where these problems being fixed starts, is in the house of God. With Christians having a burden, with Christians praying, with Christians taking the Word of God to the lost, where Jesus Christ can be made known. And that starts here with a burden. That starts here with some people who will get on fire for God and say, Lord, please do something. What has been your response to everything going on? Most of you, probably if not all of you, have Facebook in one way or another. And I've seen a lot of responses. I've seen a lot of people just saying, I'm tired, I'm just ready for all this stuff to go away and for all this stuff to be over and for 2020 to go back to normal. I've seen a lot of complaining. I've seen a lot of people say this and say that. But where are the Christians who will say, I have a deeper burden that God would do something than I did before? As we look at this story of a man named Nehemiah, first of all, this morning, we're going to see that he was burdened. Verse number 4, we read it and it said, and it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let me tell you, Nehemiah was a man of God. Nehemiah was a preacher of God who had a great burden on his heart for his nation. He was a man of God who was able to see the need that was going on. He was able to sit down and to pray and to weep and to fast. Why? Because he was serious about God needing to do something for his people. When was the last time you were burdened about something? Often we worry about our day-to-day life, but when was the last time you were burdened about the soul of a lost person? When was the last time you were burdened for your country? I'm originally from California, and you could go ahead and grimace and wince and groan. You go ahead right now, get it out. There you go, right. Exactly. From California, and you know, it's an interesting place. It's a different place. A lot of needs. Really, I remember growing up as a teenager and driving around the city with my pastor or with my family and seeing people that were broken. Seeing all those statistics playing out right in front of me. And saying, God, you need to do something. Lord, these people need Jesus Christ like never before. And we can look at the news and look at Facebook and hopefully gain that same burden. Allow your heart to be affected. I believe too often as Christians we grow callous to the needs of the world. And we say, I'm just going to isolate. I'm just going to do what's right. I'm going to live for God and the world is just going to be crazy and that's what's going to happen and I can't change it. But God can do something. Do you have a burden? First, Nehemiah saw the need. The remnant of people back in Jerusalem, they were struggling. They were the people were in captivity. The walls and the gates were destroyed. Many people like to hide from the problems around them, but Nehemiah wasn't that kind of person. Nehemiah was willing to ask, and he was willing to look, and he was willing to be honest with the problem. We as Christians, we can't have ostrich syndrome, you know? Stick your head down in the sand and don't look at anything. It's not time for us to keep on backing away and playing defense. It's time for us as Christians to acknowledge the need of our people. To acknowledge the need of people here in Athens, Georgia. To acknowledge the people at your workplace. To acknowledge the people at your public school. To acknowledge the people in your neighborhood and say, those people need Jesus Christ like never before. Yes, sir. But it's not going to happen if you won't see the need. Nehemiah saw the need and Nehemiah was bothered. Let me tell you, don't just look at the need and look the other way. But instead look and think about it and let it affect your soul. Look with the eyes that Jesus has. Think of Jesus Christ when He walked all around in the Gospels and He saw the blind and He saw the brokenhearted and He saw the lame and He was moved with compassion. Was there anybody you saw this week and you were moved with compassion? Maybe just by their brokenness? Maybe by their lostness, that they had not known Jesus Christ. There's people that are empty. There's people that are broken. Pastor was telling me that there's a drug epidemic kind of going around in this nation. Those people, they have no hope. They have no joy. They have no pleasure or some happiness in Jesus Christ. And they're looking for a way to live. They're looking for something to fill their broken heart. And what they need is a person with a burden to pray for them. And not just pray for them, but to bring them to Jesus Christ. When was the last time you cried and wept? Here's Nehemiah getting word of his home country and he weeps and he sits down and he prays and he mourns and he's genuinely brokenhearted. Far too many Christians are more brokenhearted at the death of somebody on a movie. At the death of maybe a celebrity, or they're more brokenhearted when their team loses than they are for a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. See the need. Be bothered. Let it stir your heart. Let it affect you. I think it was Jeremiah who said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Amen. Has your eye affected your heart lately? Has God burdened your heart, or have you just been callous, wishing this would all just go away? Not only did Nehemiah see the need, not only was he bothered, but he went to God. Nehemiah, yes, he saw the problems, and yes, he allowed it to affect him, but he spent some time going to the only one who could change it. Second thing we need to do if we're going to have a burden for revival is first see the need. But second, seek the mercy of God. Look at verse number 5. The Word of God says, "And said I, beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him, and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, keep my commandments and do them. Though there were of you cast out in the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee." Nehemiah was begging God. "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah sought the mercy of God. There are some problems that are just too big to turn a blind eye to, and there are some problems that are too big to just try and fix on our own. I remember just being a kid and looking up, and you know, my dad might ask me to go do something in the yard or go cut a branch. And I remember if I ever had something that was just too big for me to handle, I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, can you help me with this? Dad, can you do this for me?" Let me tell you, the needs of America, the needs of this nation, the needs of your family, the needs of people in here, the needs of people outside these walls, they are too big for us just to put a band-aid over. They are too big for us just to try and handle on our own. But it's time that we seek the mercy of God. It's time that we go to prayer. It's time that we spend more time than we've ever spent asking for God to do something. It's time. Nehemiah saw just how broken his home was, and he begged God to fix it. America is so broken, so hurt. It's in desperate need of the mercy of God. It's in desperate need of the lost to know Jesus Christ. If we're going to see revival, if we're going to see God change our country, it's time that we as Christians, that we as people that believe in God, that we as people with a burden, go to God in prayer. It's time that we seek the mercy of God. Because God is merciful. God is kind. God is loving. And God will do something. It was September 23rd, 1857, at lunchtime. A man by the name of Jeremy Lanfear, he knelt with six others in a rented hall in Fulton Street, New York. It was a time when America sure needed prayer. The United States was in spiritual, political, and economic decline. Many people were disillusioned with spiritual things because of preachers that had predicted the end of the world, and people were tired of religion, but also America was in a broken state just as it is today. In Lower Manhattan, there was a Dutch Reformed church that this man came from, and they decided that they needed to reverse the trend with two things: with visitation outreach, and with prayer. And you may not know this date, you may not know this story, but this man by the name of Jeremy, he knelt with six people in the middle of New York City on Fulton Street, and he prayed every day at lunch. And one day after the stock market crashed, there were 10,000 people meeting in that place to pray. And that revival, known as the Wall Street Revival or the New York City Prayer Revival, spread across America and it spread across nation. Why? Because just six people were willing to seek the mercy of God. God did a wonderful work in America way back in the 1800s. Why? Because one layman had a burden for his country, had a burden for everything that was going on. And he decided, instead of complaining about it, instead of being upset about it, I'm going to go to Jesus Christ and ask Him to do something about it. And our country is in all of this decline. It's in moral decline. It's in spiritual decline. And it's time that us as Christians, as six people, can get the ear of God. Then certainly a whole church of people can get the ear of God. Certainly, if a layman named Jeremy Lanphier in 1857, who is just working a normal job, can get a burden, then every Christian in this place can have a burden for the lost. And what changed the world? What set a revival? Prayer and reaching the lost. And I tell you today, that is the same thing that's going to change our world today. And you may say it doesn't work. You may say we've tried it for years and years. But it's time that we get serious about reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time that we get serious about spending time in prayer. Why? Because that is the only thing that will fix a broken nation. Have you sought the mercy of God for your nation lately? Nehemiah gives us a good pattern for seeking the mercy of God. First of all, he acknowledged sin. Verse number 6, he said, "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant." And he prays and says, "For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." It's time that we acknowledge sin. You know, it's easy for us as Christians to say, the world is in sin. It's easy for us as Christians to get in these walls and to point everywhere else and say, the world needs Jesus Christ. And it's easy for us as Christians to read off these statistics and to say, wow, judgment needs to happen for all those who are supporting abortion, for liberalism, for those who are doing all these problems. They need justice. They need the righteousness of God. They just need to go away. They need something to be fixed. They need Jesus. But it's time that we, first of all, acknowledge the sins of our people and acknowledge the sins of ourself. God will never do something if we are dirty and impure from our own sin. God will never do something in the world until He does something in the church first. It's time that we acknowledge sin. It's time that we go to Jesus and say, Lord, we need You to work, and Lord, let it start in me. Many of us know the book of Isaiah. We know the prophet of Isaiah. He spends the first 5 chapters of Isaiah saying, "Woe unto them, judgment unto them who are in idolatry, who are serving other gods, who are committing immorality, who are committing murder." He says, "Woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them." But in Isaiah chapter number 6, for the first time, he gets a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. And he sees His holiness and he sees His righteousness. And he says, "Woe is me." And I feel as Christians, it's easy to share something on Facebook and say, man, our country's a mess. It's easy to drive down the street and see people and say, wow, they need Jesus Christ. It's easy to point to our neighbor and say, the music that they're listening to or whatever they're involved in, wow, look at this sin, they need Jesus. It's hard to look inside and say, woe is me. But if we're really going to have a burden, if we're really going to pray, if we're really going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, we must deal with our own sin before we can help the world know Jesus Christ. First of all, acknowledge sin. Second, remember promises. I read a book entitled, Can We Have Revival Now? And the whole premise of the book was that there are many people who say, America is so far gone. America is in such bad shape that, you know what, we just need to pray and wait for the rapture. You know, that his mindset is really prevalent in a lot of churches. And yes, I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior face to face. And the rapture would be wonderful. But as Christians, it's not for us just to hole up in this church and say, we just got to wait for the rapture. It's not just time to sit and people say sit and soak and sour. It's not just time to insulate ourselves and say, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. Just wait for Jesus to come back. But instead, it's time to remember the promises of God. Joel chapter number 2 and verse 13 says, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God has promised before in His Word, and God has shown time and time and time again that revival is still possible, that God is still merciful, that God is still loving, that God, yes, He will judge, and God is a God of holiness, but that God will answer our prayers if we'll humble ourselves and pray. Do you have a burden? Often Christians, we say, yeah, we need revival. Yeah, I really want revival. I really want to see God do something. But we're unwilling to pay the price of getting right with God and of spending some time in prayer. Seek the mercy of God, but remember the promises. Revival is possible. We can have revival now. God can change what is happening in our country if you'll get serious. If you'll have a burden. If you'll seek the mercy of God. Acknowledge sin, remember the promises, and humble yourself. When we turn to God for His mercy, it must be done in humility. There is no going to God and saying, God, You owe us this. God, You send Your Word, so do this. But no, there's everything right in going to God and God saying, Lord, I'm the problem. Lord, I need revival. Lord, I need You to do something. Lord, would You deal with me first? Because God, my country's in bad shape. God, my neighbor needs Jesus Christ. Lord, my friends from school need to be saved. God, there's people that I work with, they have no hope. But there's hope in You. But it's not going to happen if you're not humbly seeking the Lord. We need revival. Do you believe that? Do you honestly think that, yes, we need God to do something, but what are we doing about it? Have you sought the mercy of God? Lastly, Nehemiah made a difference. He was burdened. He sought the mercy of God. And he made a difference. When Nehemiah heard of the issue, he didn't just ignore it. He didn't just push the blame off to others. Instead, Nehemiah took ownership. And many people today, we like to avoid responsibility. We like to say somebody else will take care of it. But instead, it's time to make a difference. I like sports. I think many of you guys like sports, if I remember last time. Let me know, who wins the ball game? The person who's just playing defense the whole time? Or the offense that's putting up points? Now, who wins the basketball game? The team that's just on their heels the whole time running back, or the team that's driving and that's going after the basket? Now, I don't know if you watch boxing, but who wins the fight? The person who's running around the ring and is taking all kinds of hit playing defense, or the person that gets in the fight and starts throwing punches? It's not the person who's cowering and is playing defense constantly and constantly, but it's the person who takes action. And I believe for a long time in Christianity, we've just been playing defense. We've been backing up and we've been backing up and we've just been saying, something will happen later, something will happen later. We just need to hold up in our churches and pray. But it's time for us to make a difference. It's time for us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs Him. It's time for us to take the Bible, to take the Word of God, to take the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and to go and to share it with our neighbor, with our coworker, with the lost, and to say, God can do something. But if we don't aspire to make a difference, we never will. If we just hold up and do nothing, nothing will ever happen. The answer today is Jesus Christ. The answer for revival, the answer for our broken nation, is that people would know God personally. The problems in our country is simple. It's a sin problem. Whether it's the rioting, whether it's injustice or violence, whether it's the hatred, whether it's the murders that are going on, every single problem can be pointed to a sin problem. Because people don't know Jesus Christ. They don't even know that they need Jesus Christ. We as a church, we have the answer. We could tell them how because they've sinned, because they've gone against God, because they have lied, or because they've cheated, or because they've stolen, or because they've had hatred, we can tell them that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came down to earth and He died on an old rugged cross and His hands were spread out and He had a crown of thorns. And we could tell them that because of Jesus Christ's love, He died for their sin. And that if they'll believe on Jesus Christ, He can not only save them, but He can change them.
Amen.
And we must take that message. We should take the gospel to the lost. Who cares if they don't want to hear it? Most people don't care to hear what they actually need to hear. Be honest with you, this week and the past few weeks, I've had a burden. Most of you, if not all of you, you've seen the videos, you've seen the posts, you've seen the news. And it weighs on our soul, right? It gets discouraging after a while. It gets a little frustrating saying, I'm just tired of seeing this. But I hope it'll burden your heart. I hope you'll look at what's going on today and say, Lord, our nation needs You. Lord, we need revival like never before. And that you won't just have a burden. You won't just have something in your soul that says, God, we need You to work. God, we need You to do something. But you'll actually live it out by praying. You'll actually live it out by gathering. Maybe with some men in the church. Maybe with your youth group. Maybe with somebody you know. And you'll get on your knees and saying, God, would You do something? And letting it start right in here. Revival. Don't just say we need revival. Have a burden. Revival. Don't just let the things bother you and say, yes, we need God to do something, but pray for it. And don't just pray that the world would be revived. Pray that you personally would be revived. Pray that you would get help with your sin. Pray that you would get right with God. Pray that your family would get right with God. Pray that there would be nothing between you and Jesus Christ. I want to see God do something. You know, Pastor asked me to come and to preach, and I don't know that maybe this may be the only time I ever preach to y'all. I pray that you would get the burden that I have. I pray that you would get the burden that your pastor has, that some of the godly men in your church have, that God would do something, and that God would do something in your heart. I don't know what your need is this morning. You may be here and you may be somebody who is broken. You might be here and you might be somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. You might be someone who you're looking, you're searching. You have an emptiness inside. You're looking for something to satisfy your soul. I said a minute ago that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ paid the punishment for you. You can have peace and joy and forgiveness of sin because of what Jesus Christ did for you. Well, you might be here this morning. You just need a burden. If you were to be honest with yourself, you might say, man, I really just don't care sometimes. I'm just tired and want all this stuff to go away. I'm going to ask you this morning, see the need of our country and let it affect your heart. You might say, I believe we need revival. I say we need revival, but I'm not praying enough. I'm not seeking God enough. Then seek the mercy of God. And today you might need to make a decision. Lord, I'm going to pray more. Lord, I'm going to seek You more. Lord, I'm going to beg You for revival until it comes. Today you might need to make a decision. Today you say, I've been praying. Or I've been hoping for revival. But Lord, I need to get some sin out of my life. Lord, I need to let revival start right here first. Lord, I need to confess something this morning. Just a minute, Pastor's going to give you an opportunity to make those decisions. I pray that you will. You know, it's one thing to hear the Word of God and to say amen. And to come and to enjoy the Word of God and to let it go in one ear and out the other. I've done that too many times. It's another thing to say, God, it's time for me to get serious. God, it's time for something to happen. God, I'm tired of playing defense. I'm tired of just backing up and taking shot after shot after shot. Lord, it's time to make a difference. The rest of the story of Nehemiah, he goes to the king in a nation where he was a captive, and he tells him that, you know, I want to see my country rebuilt. And he prays to God. And he asks God and he seeks God and he seeks to go back and to make a difference. And God provides for him in miraculous ways to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And one man with a burden who sought the mercy of God made a difference. And I believe today that one man, one teenager, one lady in this room with a burden who will seek the mercy of God can make a difference. But the choice is up to us. If nothing else this morning, I hope that you'll leave here understanding that you must have a burden for revival. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a minute, pastor's going to come up here and give you an invitation to come and make a decision, to come and to seek the Lord. And I just want to say, let God work in your heart. Let the Lord do something in your life today that you can look back and you say, God made a difference in America in my heart. Do you have a burden for revival?